I want to share a message this morning. The wine is coming. It's a long weekend, guys. Come on. It's no secret that Pastor Nigel likes a drop. It's got to be good. But, yeah, anyway, enough about that. It's not really about that today, although it is. Because who knows, God likes to have a party. And so on this long weekend, let's believe that God wants to have a party in your life. Yes? I agree. All right. Yes, Claire, I heard you very loudly. Anyway, the wine is coming. So during this message, I might need a little bit of help. Can you help me by just saying the wine is coming? The wine is? So every now and then when I sort of go like, this is your part, just, you know, you can, I don't mind if you just yell out in the middle of whatever I'm saying. Let's be like an African church. You know, yeah, they stand up on the chairs. The wine is coming. I don't mind. Can we do that? All right. Bit of Samoan stuff happening this morning. No noises this morning. Come on, give me something. All right, anyway, all right. She wasn't listening to my accent. All right, here we go. Come with me to John chapter 2, verse 1. John chapter 2, verse 1. The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities. So Jesus' mother told him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, that's not our problem." Sounds like me. Good pastor that I am. And then he goes, Jesus says, who's glad Jesus has got a sense of humour? "My time has not yet come." So he's talking about when he dies. What is going on? Why is he saying all this stuff? Who knows? But anyway, his mother tells the servants, do whatever he tells you. The mother tells who? Is anyone a servant of Christ here today? Is anyone want to see the miracle hand of God work on their life this morning? All right, here we go. So do whatever he tells you. Standing nearby were 6 stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. We don't have those in our wedding ceremonies today. Well, maybe some of the Jews do. And each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. I'll get to that in a little while. And Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. When the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. And when the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. A host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then, when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now. I'm telling you, church, Jesus loves to have a party. And this miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. Everything Jesus did, the raising of Lazarus, the healing of the woman with the issue of blood, the feeding of the 5,000, the miracle of Jairus' daughter, lepers cleansed, the paralytic healed, all the amazing miracles, it all began at a party. When Jesus comes to your party, it's going to be a game changer. The wine is? It can be looking good, but? It can be looking bleak, but? John 2 verse 3, the wine supply ran out during the festivities. So Jesus' mother spoke to him about the problem. They have no more wine. The wedding was in crisis because the wedding had lost its wine. Now, you're laughing. But the truth is, in Eastern culture, this was huge. You do not run out of wine at one of the most significant events that a person has in their life. And so this wedding's in crisis. The wedding had lost its wine. Pastor Phil Pringle, the president of C3 Global, listened to one of his podcasts when I was on the, I think it's called the cross trainer, at the gymnasium the other day. And I stopped and took some notes. I'm getting good with my phone these days. While I was listening, doing the two things at once, multitasking. And we have around 560 churches now around the globe, C3 churches. And he said this, made this statement, people will tell you they don't believe in God, but their theology changes when they are in need of a miracle for themselves or someone close to them. Whenever there is a crisis, it's the best thing that you can do is put your trust in Jesus. And there are many, there are many weddings in this category today. Weddings that have lost their wine. Weddings that had joy, laughter and excitement, but it's all gone. The enthusiasm is gone. The thrill of each other has gone. The wedding remains, but the excitement is gone. It just may be that this story has far more going on than at first glance. Wine was an essential part of the diet in the ancient world. I didn't say that. It's in the Bible. I looked it up. And that's what they tell me when I looked up the commentaries. Drinking wine symbolized peace and prosperity. Psalm 104 is all about praising the Lord. And one of the verses says this in verse 15. You allow them to produce food from the earth, wine to make them glad, olive oil as lotion for their skin and bread to give them strength. Wine to make them glad. Except the wine at this wedding had run dry. It may be today that there are things in your life that have run out of wine. You may have been enthusiastic about that person. You may have been enthusiastic about that job, that opportunity, that idea. But now the gleam has gone out of your eyes. Now it's just ho-hum. And I believe this story is far more than just a refueling for a fantastic finish to a party. Careful, you and I do not lose the joy in what we are doing. Careful we don't lose the joy in just turning up at work. And let me talk into this a little bit. See, we can have the house, the car, the boat, and God bless you all that you do. I have a boat, thank you. The clothes, the work, the church, the friends, the family, but the joy of life has faded. And this story is not just about an amazing finish to a wedding reception that has gone terribly wrong. It is a story that each and every one of us will be familiar with. It's about whom we are really following in our life. You don't have to look too far in our world to recognize that the joy, the hope, the thrill of life has waned for so many. So what do you do when your wedding has run out of wine? What do you do when your job has run out of wine? What do you do when your life has run out of wine? And the truth is, if we are honest with ourselves, you and I have faced the reality where we are just turning up where we need to be, but we are not really engaged, not really excited like we used to be. And maybe you had an exciting plan for your life and something derailed it. Now you are just going through the motions. You turn up at work, but it's only because that's where you work. You come home from work because that's where you live. You go to church because that's what you do, but there's nothing going on that's really inspiring you. And the Bible says the wedding has lost its wine. What do you do? Something that should be good, happy, has become mundane, ritualistic, just routine. And you and I can find ourselves stuck at a wedding that has run out of wine. I'm sure I'm not just speaking about my own personal life here this morning, that we can all relate to what I'm saying this morning, that we have times in our life where it's just, And for those of you who are married here today, please don't get in the car and blame Nigel on the way home because, well, I can pretty much, well, maybe I shouldn't go there. About you know, we can summarize our lives, you know, because we're married. And, aren't you glad that God's got things in control and that there's things in our life, you know what? This is the part. The wine is? Coming. The wine is? Coming. Maybe there's things in your life that have run out of wine. What about solo parents? Working, looking after the children all the time when they get home from work, helping them with their homework, cooking the meals over and over, it can become wearisome. You can run out of wine. What about applying for this job and that one and it feels utterly hopeless for you? You've run out of wine. What about, and anyway, Mary comes up to Jesus. Mary is Jesus's mum. Comes up to Jesus like the world's about to end. Jesus, they run out of wine. And Mary knew that what should have been celebrated, what should be amazing and beautiful and wonderful, has simply become awful. Mary says to Jesus, they've run out of wine. And Jesus says, how does that concern you and me? My time has not yet come. Mary, his mother, does not tell him what to do, and Mary does not even answer this question. She doesn't speak to him again. But what Mary does do is quite remarkable. Mary turns to the servants and says, whatever he tells you, do it. Whatever he? Do it. Whatever he? Do it. It may sound ridiculous. It may look crazy. It may defy logic. Jogic, that's a new word. But just do it. Who knows that there's things in the Bible that if you, it's like they're difficult sometimes, right? But what about if Jesus, here's the thing, Jesus did not even come close to telling his mother he would do the miracle, yet she had enough faith to believe. Is anyone here going to be a Mary and just have enough faith to believe? Do whatever he says. And you and I have got to get involved in this. Your miracle is not going to happen whilst you sit and pray. It's not going to happen whilst you lay in bed worrying. Come on, am I just talking to myself, preaching to myself here? Who you know, I have days where I worry about things and I think, well, this isn't actually going to change the situation. I know we've got to pray and that's a great place to start, but until you actually get up and do something to change your circumstance, then the miracle's going to start to happen. See, it's not even going to happen just because you need it. Your miracle is going to happen because you are getting involved. The wine is? You see, they had no wine. How does that concern me? Jesus says. And Jesus did not say to Mary, yes, I'm on it. I'll get onto that right now. Boo. There you go. Lots of beautiful grange in front of us today. And Mary didn't say, this is what you need to do, son. However, what she did do was to say to the servants, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Is anyone going to get ready this morning? Get ready. God's going to turn up. Get ready. God's going to heal you. Get ready. God's going to change that situation that you thought could never change. Get ready. That job's coming. Get ready. Get ready. There may be bad news out there, but the wine is coming. Will you have faith today to prepare for what will be? Come on, let's be Mary's this morning. It's not going to happen whilst you're worried about what is right now. And the truth is, Jesus had to get rid of a lot of emotional people before he could pray for a miracle into being. He had to remove those of unbelief who only saw what was rather than what could be. The wine is. And so let's remember that God's got to get through all the emotion. He's got to get through all the doubt. So let's be people that actually power through that and see the miracle working hand of God in our lives and actually believe far greater than what right is right now. Isn't that faith? The wine is? See, Jairus' daughter, let's just take one example out. There's lots of them in the Bible about this. Jesus shouted at the crowds, the Word of God says, stop the weeping. I mean, the girl's dead. Stop the weeping. Okay, well, that's pretty serious, Jesus. But he says it, stop the weeping. She isn't dead, but she's dead. Look, she's dead. She isn't dead. Is anyone? The wine is? She's just sleeping. You see, Jesus knew what was going to happen because the come on. Yeah, and the crowds laughed at him. The crowds what? They laughed at him. You're on drugs. Jesus only allowed Peter, James and John and her parents to go into the room. He shut the door and he went, shut up, in the name of Jesus. And the daughter got up. The daughter got up. The wine is. Will you believe with me today that something powerful is going to happen in your life? Oh, that's what I'm waiting for. Come on, Samoa. All right. See, God works through our doing. And Mary knew God worked through Jesus. And Mary knew that it was through the expectation. Has anyone got a little bit of expectation that God's more powerful than us? That God's more powerful than the doctors? That God's more powerful than the greatest surgeon in the world? That God has all the answers because the... See, there is nothing more difficult than an atmosphere where all the lights have gone out. Oh my goodness, I've been in situations like that where the place is cold. And I've looked at my wife and I've gone, this is a tough crowd. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do anything. But I know inside of me that the wine is. Oh my goodness, don't ever let your lights go out. You see, if you lose your expectation, you lose your potential for a miracle. See, don't ever get into a mindset of expectation that nothing is going to happen. Can we believe that something is going to happen? See, the wine is. You see, the enemy can take your house. He can take your car. He can take away all that you have and leave you naked. But if you still have your expectation, you can still get through. You've heard it about the prison camps, how it's the expectation because they knew that the wine was. See, and the worst case scenario is, and I've, you know, you've got to add this in because you know, okay, sometimes we have a really rough life and, you know, we look at people and we think, my goodness, I'm glad that, oh dear, it's so hard for some people. But I've got to tell you one thing, the wine is still coming. The wine is still coming. Because those people are going to be totally set free. As the moment they enter into heaven's gates, there's going to be a new wine come on their life. But don't you know that we can bring heaven to earth right now too? So come on, let's keep believing. Can we expect something to happen in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? See, if the enemy can take away your expectation from you. Oh man. You know, if I'm honest with myself, I've been here a few times. I'm sure you have too. A wedding without wine, a house but no home, a marriage without love, a life without joy, the list goes on. And I'm here to tell you today that the devil is a liar. The devil is a
liar.
The devil is a
liar.
Don't listen to those thoughts. Say a statement with me today. Can you say this with me, church? I know life has more for me than this. And I know God did not deliver me, save me, to settle for this. I will never accept it. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Mary said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And then she went about her business. Can I say this from personal experience and from the word of God is saying today, God says, walk away. It's already done. It's done. I've got this. You don't have to keep telling God the same thing over and over again, nagging him. He's got it. He's got it. See, when we put an offer on C3 Wellard, on our church building down there at Kwinana, opposite the golf course, I thought it was going to be very simple. So did the board. And we even got a professional in our church, no names mentioned, to help us. Right, Mr. Orr? To help us get the deal across the line. And Ben did his incredible best. And yet he came back to me, not his fault, and he came back to me and said, I can't get a bank to loan you the money because you're a church, pretty much. But I tell you, in my spirit, before we even started this journey, I knew that God was going to deliver us that land, that block, that house, if you like. And so when you've got something in your spirit, you've got to push back against the devil. You got to push back against those things that are trying to stop the presence and power of God from working a miracle in your life. In the last hour, I rang our original bank that we have our mortgage with already, and I says, can we renegotiate? What can I do? And within a few days, they said, yes, we'll give you the money. What they said was a definite no. Then they turned around and said, yes. The wine is? See, Jesus did not speak to the servants about wine. He spoke to them about water. Huh? You ask God for wine, it comes back as? Did you hear what I said to you, Jesus? What I was just praying? I asked you to help in that specific area and you answered with something else. John 2:6. Six stone water pots were standing there. They were used for Jewish ceremonial purposes and held 20 to 30 gallons each. Those pots you have been using for ceremonial washing must become the place of miracles. If you do not use this church for more than religious ceremony or duty, you are going to miss your miracle. You want to come to this place expecting to be transformed by Jesus. See, the pots, I'll just give you a few that I thought of. The worship pot. The more you engage and speak out, so your faith will come alive. The more you engage and speak. As soon as you speak out, faith is ignited. You've got to do something. The more you stay silent, yes, God can do it, but He's waiting to see what you've got. Have you got something in your tank? Have you got a little bit of God, even just a little bit of faith? Speak out. Tithe pot. God has given us the principle of tithing to bless our lives, not take from us. It's the sowing and reaping and principle throughout the whole of the Bible. What you sow, you will. And so God says, deposit in me first and you will see things gradually improve in your life and you will see other miracles occur simply because you give to me first. You give me first place in your life. The prayer pot. Nothing on this earth is going to be shifted unless we have the wine of prayer in our life. Oh, thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the miraculous, Lord, that goes out from this house, Lord, through every connect group, through every hospital situation right now. We thank you, Lord, in the name of the Lord, that the wine is. the Bible pot, be grounded in his word, and his, allow his wine to build you up. So Jesus sent the servants to draw water. We know that they were 20 to 30 gallon pots and there was six of them, right? And it's estimated that all six pots weighed 570 kilos. That's a big deadlift. Which is approximately 570 litres of water, because a litre and a kilo are pretty much the same. So this was not just turning on a tap. In fact, they didn't have taps back then. This was not just turning on a tap and filling up an urn. It took some pumping down at the well. And then, because it's heavy, these are 40 kilo pots, they reckon. They're made out of one piece of stone, and then they're full of water. And so you can imagine, it's not just one person, there's a few. Back to... All the way up the stairs to the reception. The guys are sweating. They drank half the water in the pot before it even got up there. Why are we doing this again, Lord? Why are we just doing this connect group again? Why am I turning out to church again? When we ask you for wine, you will go through a season where you need wine. You've prayed about it, yet God has given you water. God has you handling water. And it would be easy to get this miracle if you drew it up out of the well and it turned to wine straight away, right? But it was still water. And the truth is, much easier to have faith carrying the pot, knowing it's going to turn to wine at the pump, but it's still water. It's water when they draw it, water when they fill it, back and forth, and it's still water. And it may seem small right now. Come on, is anyone? Come on, give me that. What's our little phrase? It may seem small, right? Has anyone got a small issue? It just may seem like an insignificant thing, but God's going to do something great with it. There may be something in your life that if you can be faithful in handling water, there is going to be something in the process of being committed to Jesus, and the wine is? See, the voice of the enemy will be saying, where is your God? What good is God for water? I thought you had a word from God. Come on. And back and forth to church, back and forth to the connect group, back and forth from serving him, back and forth giving to him, back and forth reading his word, back and forth. I even gave that miracle offering, Lord. The wine is? The servants. Lord, we did what you said. Here are all six pots of water. We don't seem to be any better off. And you've thought that faith doesn't really work. The wine is, faith will work if you work it. Turn to your neighbor, faith will work if you work it. Now, I want to put this in, because I've seen this in my own life so many times, and I'm sure you have too, those of you who have been a Christian a while. Even when it looks like it's not working, God is up to something. Come on. Even when it looks like nothing's working, God is up to. I refuse to doubt God today. I still have that situation, but God. I want to pray for miracles before we finish this meeting this morning. You may have a situation in your life that you've been thinking that, you know what, I don't know what to do. Well, today let's believe that the wine is. You may need healing today. We're going to believe that God's going to touch your life and you will be transformed by the power of the living God. The wine is. And so I still have that situation, but God. I still have that debt, but God. I still have that trouble in my relationship, but God. I still need some healing, but God. The water was still water. Even when Jesus said to take the goblet to the master of the ceremonies, it's still water in the goblet. But when the master of ceremonies lifts it to his lips, it turned to... It turned to... The truth is this, Jesus is in the water, Jesus is in the pots, Jesus is in the normality of our lives. And because I want the wine, does anyone want the wine? Because I want the wine, I will keep doing what God tells me to do. I will keep turning up. I will keep worshiping him. I will keep sending my kids into Kids Zone. I will keep doing those things that I know are going to bring the wine into my world. Yeah. See, faith will work if you work it, even if it looks like it's not working. God is up to something. John 2:11. This miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee, thanks music team, you can come up. The miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was Jesus' first display of his glory. God has a desire to display his glory in your life. The wine is? I refuse to doubt God. Can we stand to our feet, church? I refuse to doubt God today. I'm still in debt, but I'm not going down. I'm still having relationship problems, but I'm not giving up. I still have that condition. I still have that addiction. I still have that whatever it is in your life. Can we believe that the wine is coming today? Keep being faithful. God is going to bring his wine. And when it looks like there's no power, when you hung in there with me, boom. Can we believe for miracles in C3 Church today? Can we believe right now for the greatest miracle of all, that of salvation? Can we pray this prayer together? And those of you who may have not have received Christ, those of you who may have fallen out of relationship, I want to tell you today, there's nothing greater than knowing that the wine's coming back into your life. The Holy Spirit power of the living God to fuel you and bring momentum. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love. Come into my heart right now. I receive you. My sins are gone. I'm coming home in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.